From the Arizona Daily Star and Tucson.com, this is the Wildcast.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Wildcast Podcast, episode 101. I'm Justin Spears, as always, here with Bruce Pasco, Dominic Bachaco. Couldn't quite make it out today because he doesn't start work for another about an hour and a half.
He's a night owl.
A night owl indeed. Yes. Remember doing podcasts at 1:30 in the morning after basketball games in the Kale Center?
Good times.
All right, Bruce. Well, we're not here to talk about Arizona basketball with the whole NBA draft process, because I know that's where players are at right now because they're getting ready to head out to Chicago for the NBA Draft Combine. Really, the biggest news surrounding the program right now is who are going to be the pieces for the 2018-2019 season. And Sean Miller and company have been very active in trying to get their recruits and just trying to piece together their roster for next season. Going into the offseason, they lost six players, or technically seven if you consider Tyler Trillo, he wasn't a scholarship player.
No, he was an invited walk-on, but he elected to take off because he had graduated. And he's already had internships professionally. I think he was ready to move on.
Yeah, but Arizona, they lose their entire starting five. So that's Parker Jackson Cartwright, Alonzo Trier, Raleigh Alkins, DeAndre Ayton, Dusan Ristic, and they also lose Keanu Kinder off the bench. Right. So that's essentially half their team, and when you look at Sean Miller and the way he plays players, that's essentially all of Arizona's rotation. So the Wildcats are going to look much different next season. So they only had six scholarship players going into the offseason. They kind of picked up some steam here recently. They got a commitment from Devonair Detrieve. That was the first domino that fell. And then they get Belgian forward Omar Thielemans. And then now they have Pitt grad transfer. He's not technically a part of the recruiting class, but he still joins Arizona as a new player.
Yeah.
And that's Pitt transfer Ryan Luther.
Right. Not part of the high school class, but the whole class he would count, I suppose. And and they're probably going to have another grad transfer or two if they can pull it off. Just because they have a really great opportunity for grad transfers, and I'm sure that's why Luther was interested.
Yeah. Do you think that the grad transfer market is better for Sean Miller in a year like this, where he's not going to have the one-and-dones, because all the players that are coming back are all going to be sophomores / juniors.
Right.
And then Devonair Detrieve, he's going to be a freshman.
Right.
Omar Thielemans, he's going to be a freshman. But they're not necessarily one-and-done players, but Sean Miller still has four scholarships available.
Right.
Do you think that maybe getting a guy like Ryan Luther, or looking at the grad transfer market now, the way Sean Miller's style of play is almost better for them?
Yeah, well, I think more so than – well, that's part of it, but I think almost more so than style of play is just the opportunity. I mean, you're right. It's tremendous. I mean, it's more so than even like – he filled, for example, what was it, 5 years ago or whatever, when he went and he found Mark Lyons to fill kind of a scoring point guard role because he really needed – they needed somebody, and that worked out good for Mark Lyons. It worked out good for Arizona. This year he's got multiple opportunities like that. I mean, they've got a kid, Justin Coleman, coming in next week. If Brandon Williams decides not to go to Arizona and picks Oregon or Gonzaga – Justin Coleman could be running the show next year. That's an incredible opportunity for a guy who played, started his career at Alabama, wasn't working out for him there, went to Samford. Now he's got a chance possibly to come back here and run the show for a high major program and, get his, really rocket his stock up, wherever he plays, as a after he gets done. So it's a great opportunity there. And certainly for Ryan Luther and anybody who's a big, there's both of those spots are completely wide open. I mean, they've got Ira Lee they really like, and Chase Jeter's got a lot of talent. Was very highly recruited out of high school, but nobody knows for sure who's going to lock down those two post spots. So they're open for anybody. And even if Luther doesn't start, he's almost inevitably going to be as provided he's healthy, he'll be a key player in the rotation. So,
and Ryan Luther, when he was a name that came up that he could end up at Arizona. And I started doing a lot more research on him. And he really fits Arizona well because he adds size, even though he's only 6'9". Yeah, only 6'9".
Yeah. Right. I know. They've been a little spoiled around here lately.
You know, the last couple of years right. they've had Twin Towers. Right. And then even last year with Dusan and DeAndre. You know, those are 2 7-footers right there. They don't have a 7-footer on roster for next season. But Luther, he's probably going to be installed. He's going to be a power forward.
Mm-hmm.
But he's shot 41.5% from three-point range. So he kind of has that stretch Lowry Markkanen kind of vibe to him.
Right. I think he's not it doesn't strike me that he's a, you know, your basic back-to-the-basket inside guy. I think he is a little more almost like a combo forward kind of player, you know, which they'll have to work around. But it might be good to have that stretch ability in there as a, you know, if he does play four, I imagine he will be there a lot.
Yeah. So looking at their front court right now, they have Ryan Luther, who I think will probably start at four with Ira Lee coming off the bench and playing significant minutes, or it could be the other way around.
And well,
then
yeah,
and you have Chase Jeter playing center.
Probably, yeah.
So does this mean Omar Thielemans is probably going to play some four?
Well, you know, he's just a big wild card. I don't know how good he is. I don't know what position he says he can play 2, 3, 4. That may be true. Maybe he, you know, can play a 3 and a 4. Although I do know that it's really hard sometimes as a freshman to learn to play both of those positions. Yeah. And typically they end up at one or the other. And, you know, Emmanuel Aycott was kind of the same way last year. But ended up playing more in the perimeter. So he could play the four. I mean, that's something it'll probably play out in the fall practices and see what happens there. I don't really know.
But Arizona is hosting Lucas Kasunas this week.
Mm-hmm.
He's a big man. He's a three-star.
Yeah,
big
he's actually, even though he's 6'8", he's actually plays bigger than that because he's so physical. He's like 255. Okay. He plays center. He's a back-to-basket center. And,
he's like a bulldog.
You know,
like
can score both ways, apparently. I don't think he's, you know, yeah. You know, I don't think he's all about scoring by any means. He's, you know, as Coach said, he's a really good screener, you know, and you know, his rebounding numbers have been pretty good. He plays on a really national, high-level prep school program at Brewster, where Justin Simon played a few years ago before he came to Arizona. And yeah, I think he could be it sounds like he could be a serviceable backup as well. Although you know, it's hard to say. Sometimes freshmen big guys might take a little time to sort of develop and be able to help you, cause especially in Sean Miller's system, you don't know he's going to have to screen and play defense, and if he doesn't do that well enough, he's not going to play. So we'll see about that. If they were able to get him anyway, and that's up in the air. He's going to visit Stanford next week, and he's looking at Wake and some other places too.
Funny that you bring up Stanford, because when his name got brought up, and then now that you mentioned the way he plays, is he going to be kind of like a Reed Travis?
Reed Travis could play five, and he's small. That's true. Maybe a little bit.
Or is he going to be
Creole Travis Nayaka? Travis strikes me as a really crafty offensive player too, and I don't think this guy has that yet in his game at all.
Finesse.
But he might.
Yeah.
It, you know, it might develop. But Reed Travis is really, really good offensively and can make mismatches if needed with big guys in there. That's why he's so effective. And you know, and he's a veteran player now, so it's hard to say. You know, but maybe down the road.
Mm-hmm. So looking ahead to Arizona's what they need, I would say a center is what they need. But more importantly, they need a point guard, because the only point guard that we know of on roster is Alex Barcelo.
Yeah.
And we didn't really see much out of him this past season to know that he's capable of running the show and actually taking Arizona to the expectation, which is winning a Pac-12 and having a deep run in the tournament.
Right. It's a great question, because I think that I thought that, you know, watching Barcelo as a recruit and the level of interest they had in him and the way he played before he got hurt early in the season, I thought he had potential to run this team. And it's funny because you talk about it like, and everybody talks about it, and understandably so, that this team has no point guard. Well, they do. He's not bad. He got to the point where what happened is he got hurt and they came back and they were getting towards the Pac-12 season. And Alonzo Trier was making a little more progress as a backup point guard, and Sean Miller just decided, you know what, I want Alonzo Trier on the floor as much as possible. If he can play the point guard, he's going to play the point guard when Parker sits and Alex is not getting in the game. And that's what happened. It wasn't that Alex Barcelo did anything wrong. It's just Alonzo Trier was really good and could handle playing backup point, so he did. And but that said, yeah, certainly want another point guard, and you know, and I think it's a little bit scary for them if Brandon Williams does go elsewhere. Then you really do need another guy, because if you don't get anybody else right now, you're looking at you know, trying to get Emmanuel Acott or maybe Dylan Smith or some of those guys to play your backup role, which could be okay. But you know, what if Barcelo doesn't play up to expectations, or maybe he gets hurt, or you know, then you're really in a tough spot. So yeah. You want another point guard for sure. You're right.
And with Florida Gulf Coast transfer Zach Johnson, he committed to Miami, and then most recently Ahab Amin from Texas A&M Corpus Christi. His list of schools that he's visiting was mm-hmm. Wichita State, Nevada, and Miami. I think it was the other school. So. It seems
not
like,
Arizona.
Yeah, that. Not Arizona. Right. We don't know if he's still considering Arizona at this point. Right. What we do know is that he's not visiting Arizona anytime soon. So, I mean, that's two point guards that you take away right now. And, I mean, I'm looking at their list. Obviously, Brandon Williams is somebody that could really step in and be the starting point guard. And then there's also Joseph Chartouni. From I forget
right, but he school. Hasn't. I don't think he's scheduled to visit here, or so. I'm not sure.
Yeah, and he's still. He's got Marquette, Louisville, Purdue. Like he's got a lot of schools on his list right now.
Right, still pretty open. So at this point, if Brandon Williams doesn't come, they're probably their top option would be Coleman if they can get him.
So
yeah.
So all right, real quick, Bruce, before we go, looking ahead and using your crystal ball, if Arizona were to somewhat save this recruiting class and have some sort of high expectations and optimism for next year, who are a couple players that could go into this recruiting class that you think could help them out?
Of the players that they're still pursuing?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's hard to say. I mean, I will say I think grad transfers are their absolute best option here. You know, unless they should happen to get somebody like a Jordan Brown out of high school, a five-star player, but and apparently they've made some inroads, but it's going to be an upset to get him. You know, the best case scenario, because you need help right now, would be a guy like Justin Coleman, who could come in and either start a point or play a lot there. He seems like he's got a high major talent. And you know, and then maybe it's they've got a big guy and Ryan Luther. They probably need another piece there. And I don't know whether Kasunis could help him right away or not. But if they could get him, certainly that's some potential there. But you know, it is true though. Even then, they've got with Chase Jeter and Ira Lee, they got two players they believe in, and Acott is versatile enough that he could play the four and might have to next year, and that's not necessarily a bad thing. Mm-hmm. So my guess is if they can get at least two more guys that they can probably plug in some form next season, then that's probably about as good as you can expect. I mean, we all went into this offseason thinking, how are they going to put a team together? And right now they've got enough to put a team on the floor. And they might actually keep getting it a little bit better here. So considering the circumstances and everything, they're in a pretty good position.
Mm-hmm. I'm the same way. I think Jordan Brown, he's a five-star guy. He could keep the McDonald's All-American trend going for Arizona.
Yeah, I never know.
Watched him during the McDonald's All-American game, and he was pretty good. I was impressed with his defensive abilities, which is something we all know Arizona definitely needs.
Yeah.
They definitely needed it last year, and his rebounding abilities. He seems like he could be a guy that can step in and start right away.
Well, and that's the thing, and they can sell that to him too and say, look, you know, I mean, I know all these five-star guys think they're going to be, they're going to be one and done and start, but they legitimately could, tell him, and he would know. He could probably start at that four position, which I think is his natural position, and that would be his, and he could have a chance to showcase himself. And they could tell him, look what we did with Derek Williams. Look what we did with DeAndre Ayton, and guys who played the four position, Larry Markkanen. I mean, that's a huge selling point, and I'm sure that's one reason they have a chance at least.
Yeah, Jordan Brown, Brandon Williams, Lucas Kasunis. If they were to somehow land,
that would be a best case.
Even two
best
out of those scenario. Three, that's the best case scenario. That's what I think would give Arizona at least some kind of hope.
Yeah,
going into next year. But the realistic scenario I see is I could still see Kasunis committing. But
he's here right now, and anytime Sean Miller gets a player on campus, there's a good chance he's going to get him. I mean, they don't miss too many that actually come and take a visit here,
especially coming from Lithuania. Well, Lithuania and Tucson are much different.
Yeah, and that actually does. They are different, and it actually works to his advantage because I mean, I imagine he doesn't have any preference geographically where he is because it's all far away from home, and Stanford's a little warmer than Lithuania too. And, heck, Arizona's had European players here. They've had Ukrainian players here before, and Serbians and stuff like that. And that probably helps a little bit, too.
Man, to think how far we've come in Arizona basketball recruiting when Kirill Natyashko was the very first commit for Arizona. And now here we are talking about Arizona getting grad transfers from that side of the world.
It's a different recruiting world. It's a different recruiting class, but it's actually, in a way, more interesting to see the way this is playing out. You know, it's not just like Sean Miller's out there lining up a bunch of five-star guys, which they almost did. But it's coming together, and you know what? They may be a little less talented. They're going to be certainly next year, but they could be more interesting, and maybe some of these guys develop into something that, you know, people don't expect. We'll see.
All right, well, that will do it for our episode of Arizona Basketball Recruiting. You can always follow Bruce on Twitter at Bruce Pasco, and don't forget to follow the Wildcaster on Twitter, like us on Facebook, and download that Wildcaster app, and subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts. Thanks for listening.
Thanks.